بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقيت ابن الصبيرة رضي الله عنه says that I had come in a delegation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we were intending to meet Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but we couldn't meet him immediately. So we came to the Mubarak residence and we found Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So she presented some type of cereal. Arabic they'll say khazira. English simple translation will be cereal. When we talk of cereal, we think of ProNutro, think of Post-Tostes, Jungle Oats. So, in my understanding, the Haleem that we eat is also a type of a cereal. Because you look at the ingredients in Jungle Oats and here it's about the same. But in that Haleem they add some meat as well. So that Khazira also is made in different ways. One way that they prepare it is with meat. And there's another way that they prepare without meat. But it's not prepared always sweet like how we prepare a cereal. So, let's get the chef for that. So, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha offered them. The mehman that comes to your house, then immediately something has to be offered to them. Make them feel relaxed, make them feel comfortable. With all the precautions that are required, parda, etc., you observe all the parda requirements and you offer them whatever is available. Simple, easy. We don't know the circumstances that they are coming from. Maybe tired, had a hard day's journey. And more especially when they're coming here in a time when they haven't got takeaways in restaurants. So they come and something has to be offered to them. They feel relaxed, they feel at ease. They had that and then Aisha had offered some dates in a tray. Obviously all this must be behind the screen. Then he says that we hadn't been very much long there, that Rasul Pasam had come in, and the first thing that he inquired, had you all had something to eat? See the mizaj, the mizaj of Nubuwat. What is the mizaj of Nubuwat? Now, when I see this, then I see it very much identical to the older Muslims. The older Muslims, perhaps some things they didn't have, many of them didn't have beards and kurtas, but there were a lot of things that were resembling Rasul Pasam. Anybody comes in, say, kuch khana khaya, whichever background you're coming from, but that was the first thing. Have you had something? You must have something. They'll make sure that the person had something. Whatever it is, whoever it is, whether it's a friend or it's a relative, but they will make sure that this person eats something, has something, he's relaxed. So when we look at a hadith, then this is what we're supposed to be looking at. What was the very temperament of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub sahab rahmatullahi says, he's a founder of Darulum Deoband, that from the first day that I studied hadith, I found myself with Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I found him. And the reason for that, he says, that whenever I came across a hadith, then I wanted to know what was Rasul Pasam's reason for doing this. He did this, what was the reason? So if I know the reason, then I can apply it to my situation. It's a different situation today. In that zamana, it was a different situation. So situations may change. But when they changed, we need to understand how to apply the same thing. The same teaching of Rasul Pasam, how do we apply it? Right. In fiqh, they say that the principles will be the same, but situations may change. Like, for example, the simple example that is illustrated is the usul is that you travel so many kilometers, 78 kilometers, then you become a traveler. Right? So that's the usul, that's the principle. Now, circumstances have changed. You will complete that 78 kilometers sometimes in 1 hour, sometimes less than an hour. Now, will the same law apply or will you change the law? So the usul will remain the same. The principle will remain the same, though the situations have changed. So we need to understand, we need to grasp this usul. This is a temperament, this is the very mizaj of Rasulullah. What was in his mizaj? What he wanted? Obviously he wanted that the person that is coming in, he must feel relaxed, he must feel easy, he must feel comfortable. The obligation of the host must be that what is easily available, let me present it before him. Now, why we have gone off the course is because of two reasons. One is this, that we begin to feel that we must go out of way, completely out of way to prepare. And everybody doesn't have the means all the time to prepare out of the way. He needs to get meat from here, he needs to get chops from here, and chips from here, and whatever else. So that takes an entire day. Now, because we have got into this lavish style, therefore, we cannot practice the sunnah. So the simple way is come onto simplicity. You come onto simplicity, then you can practice the sunnah. In fact, many a times, when you're going somewhere, your heart is desirous that let's hope they make some simple food. Everywhere you go, you know, chips and chops, chips and chops, chips and chops, ice cream. So they chop you out completely. So with a simple preparation, then you enjoy it. I don't say that every day you must have kari khichdi. No, you can have dal gosht, you can have some dodi or something else, some simple foods. But really it is enjoyable. And because we have moved away from this original style, we have gone to this style here, all dry foods. So now it becomes a lavish thing. It becomes an expensive thing. Now to maintain this is not an easy thing. So the simple thing is come on to simplicity. But strangely, we only apply these usuls of simplicity when you are out in Jamaat. Come back home again now. Hey, what's wrong? I'm not going Jamaat now. Where's the samosa? Where's the pie? What do you think I'm in Jamaat still? So these usuls are not supposed to be only applied when we're out. It's supposed to be applied more when we're in. Right? We learn to train ourselves, discipline ourselves, and come here. And I think, I feel, I'm subject to correction, I think maybe 40 or 50% of our health problems will be all eased off if we come back to simplicity. We are virtually eating from the fridge. So what's the good in that food? It is just the good looks that are there. We are not eating fresh. We are not eating that which is full of nourishment. Rather, we are eating like this. So the nourishment is out. The nutrition is out. We are eating in this manner. So what do you expect? You expect that sickness to come. So this aspect of simplicity, modesty, it was the style of our original Muslims. Many a time, many stories you hear, whether it's within our relatives or out of our relatives, many, many stories you hear, that there is some difficulty that is experienced in a home, but they'll never mention it. Not sarahatan, not kinayatan, not directly, not indirectly. They won't mention it at all. They will go through that difficulty. Well and good. The day Allah Ta'ala blesses them, they'll enjoy it. But they won't mention that they're going through some financial constraints and difficulties, not directly or not indirectly. Now, so many sunnahs these people had, really, when you look at all these things here, this was really the mizaj, the temperament of Hazrat Rasulullah SAW. Israf, Israf, all these things here. Now, we have gone here, gone out of this. One, two things we have defined as deen, we have got very strict onto that, and the rest of the deen, we have just sidelined it. Really, when I look at the modern day, the one, two things we have defined, you got this, then you got deen. The rest of it, then we have just sidelined it, we have ignored it. We don't even consider it part of deen, whereas simplicity is part of deen, a great part of deen. You see, you build up that lifestyle, then you need to service that lifestyle all the time. And when you need to service that lifestyle, you need that type of money. So it's that constant race, that constant race. So therefore, Rasulullah, he explains simplicity. Now with that simplicity, how many things you can achieve? I just showed you two things, right? If you got that simplicity, and the older people had it. Now look at the third thing. It's a major thing in our lifestyle today. That do we have the capacity within our home, our hearts, not the home. Do we have the capacity within our hearts to take on 3-4 relatives and keep them in the home for 5 months? And you can ask your relatives, say, 30-40 years ago, someone was a little bit under constraint, we kept him at home 5 months, 6 months, 1 year at a time. I know my childhood, I've seen all these things here. That is, they kept him 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and they didn't feel anything about it. Only they were eating simple, so they add 1-2 more chamchas of water inside. And that food was enough and was sufficient for everybody else. And nobody had a complaint, no, I am working and this person is enjoying. I am working and he's enjoying. They didn't think like that. Now today our whole mind is reversed. No, I am working and he's enjoying. Why must he enjoy with my money? See, when you go out of that simplicity, then how many sunnats you are deprived of. Now you've got so much more time for yourself, for the masjid, to spend your time with yourself, with your wife and children, make ta'aleem properly in the house, make some zikr after asr till maghrib to isha, with the children, have some quality time with them. Now do you have it? You don't have it. You are mentally occupied, you are physically occupied, you have to have that type of amount, that type of money to run that type of life. But the way it's coming from this point. That we have moved on to an alien lifestyle, not our lifestyle. Our lifestyle is something else. We're coming back to the same hadith of Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu. Anyway, whilst we were there, as Laqit radiallahu anhu says, whilst we were there, then the shepherd came past by Rasulullah SAW, and Rasulullah SAW asked him, Ma wallatta, what did you deliver? In other words, one of the goats must have been expecting, so what did you deliver? So he said, Bahmatan, one goat. So Rasulullah tells him, all right, he tells that shepherd, go and slaughter one sheep in place of this sheep that has been already delivered. Then go and slaughter one sheep. Not this one here. In place of this, go and slaughter one sheep. But in order to make his mind at ease, to keep his mind at ease, he explains to him, see, don't ever think, la tahsabin, don't think, min ajlika dhabahnaha, that we have slaughtered this just because of you. Now you ponder on this wording of the hadith. Why did Rasulullah tell him this much? Okay, don't think we have slaughtered this just on account of yourself. You're looking back in the early days of Islam, people are pouring in the delegations to learn Islam. 10 days, 20 days, 30 days at a time. They are staying in Medina Munawwara. Doors of the Sahaba Kiram are open. But you coming to learn, come and stay in my house. 3-4 days, 5 days, 10 days. He's coming. Or there's 20 mehman, you take 5, I'll take 5, he'll take another 7. And everybody spread out. The whole day they're learning Islam. Right? Now if they need to learn Islam correctly, right, then they will have to stay for a duration of time. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Right? It's a delegation. What do you call a waft? What is the real meaning of a waft, of a delegation? In other words, the select people of a community are going for some important work. The select people of a community are going to meet someone. Important talks that you call a waft, you call a delegation. So it's a delegation that is coming in. It's an important class of people that are coming in. Then they are dignified, they are respectable, they have got some shame and respect within them. Right? When they're coming from that type of background, then they will accept that for one meal. One meal, you spoil them, it's all right. But the second meal, they feel, no, we are becoming a burden for these people. Because, you know, they're preparing this and they're doing this. And so many varieties they are preparing for us. So they're going out of their way. So we're becoming a burden on them. So when it's a person of dignity and respect, then he can't manage it for too long. One meal, it's all right, he can manage it. But then the second meal and the third meal and the fourth meal, and to remain there, then he finds it difficult. So how to lighten the whole thing for these people that are coming for the sake of deen? He says, oh, don't worry. Be at ease. Make yourselves at home. How we say, make yourselves at home. Now this was real. In the meanwhile, Rasulullah tells him, see, we haven't cut this, we haven't slaughtered this just because of you. But it's a system that we have with us. We have a flock of sheep or flock of goats. We don't want it to exceed 100. The moment it exceeds 100, then we slaughter one. The moment it exceeds 100, then we slaughter one. I ask anybody, I challenge you, anybody, can you have that type of system in your business? I got 20 million, then I call it a day. I don't want it to exceed that. Yeah? Challenge anybody. Say, how can you be so stupid? You know, you got more, you can give more sadaqah, and you can go in the more path of Allah Ta'ala, and what else? How many stories we can make up? Now look at the bizarre, look at the temperament. See, the temperament of Rasulullah. Now, we need money, why we need it? So that we can carry on our lives comfortably. We don't make money because we need to make money, because that's an objective. But just because it's a vehicle across, that's why we do it. So he's explaining to him, we don't want it to exceed 100. 100 is enough. We call it a day. The moment it exceeds 100, then we slaughter one. And that's the end of it. See, how to ease in the mind of a believer, your friend, your companion, someone is coming to learn deen. But how to keep his mind at ease, relax. Now, this is an important thing that is learned through the hadith. You know, these three sahaba kiram who were boycotted. Hilal ibn Umayyah, Ka'b ibn Malik, etc., etc. And the tawbah of theirs had come at night. And Rasulullah's turn was with Hazrat Umm Salima. Now, this, you'll be surprised, even the sahaba woman, they had a lot of love between themselves. Any sahabis, now he's ostracized now. Now, what to do? What to do? How to join him back? How to get him back into the circle? They're also concerned. They not only concerned for themselves, what about that person? He mustn't be ashamed, he mustn't be embarrassed, he mustn't be pushed down. If he's being pushed down and the tawbah has already been announced, then let's go and announce it to him, let's go and break the news to him. And the other way is, keep him on the string, you know. Let him keep him on suspense, keep him in suspense. He won't do it again. You see, how to mentally relax the person. Keep the person relaxed, at ease. Hazrat Shaykh Hamdah had this thing. When I see the mashayikh and the buzugan ad-din, I don't say others don't have it, but really when I see him, I saw this thing in him. Right? So there was a funeral message. So Hazrat says to his daughter or his son, Murad Talha, that you don't tell this message to anybody. It's the month of Ramadan, and now it's night. It's already about 1 o'clock that we receive the news. 3 o'clock is Sehri time. Right? Now if you're going to break the news now, so nobody's going to sleep, you're going to break the sleep, number one. Number two, nobody's going to have Sehri properly. So they sleep properly, they had Sehri, and they slept after Fajr a little bit. Now they relax at about 8 o'clock. Now break the news that so-and-so died. Make dua for him. Now, although someone will squeal that you knew about it 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock, why didn't you tell us then? But now you see, how do you relax the person mentally? How do you keep the person at ease? So as Umm Salima radiallahu anha wants to break the news, obviously her love for the rest of the Sahaba kiram, Rasulullah says, no, don't do it now. Don't do it now. In the morning, you go and break the news. And the reason is obvious, because if the news is going to be broken now, then crowds and crowds of Sahaba Ikram will come to these people to embrace them, to congratulate them. Obviously now, our bosom friends, and they were ostracized, they were boycotted, and now they've been received, Allah Pak Himself has sent down their wahi with their forgiveness and their repentance, right? We must go and receive them now. It's a moral obligation that my brother's happiness is my happiness. His grief is my grief. His agony is my agony. His day of joy is my day of joy. He's happy. I must go and share with him. I must go and share his happiness. See, all these things are coming from the same hadith. That how do we socialize? How do we live with people? How do we live with people? That is why I say that these kitabs that they got for talim, we read a little portion, small portion, but we must have a time that we reflect what is the contents of this kitab. What is this kitab telling us? This is what we learned today. What is it telling us? Now you read the incident of the goat head and how it passed by seven homes, right? Right. Today you got fish curry now, right? For example, hey, we like that fish curry. And especially it's done, according to our specs, it's done. Casablanca standards. Got it all, our style, they got it. Now, when you got it to that standard, then what is our heart doing at that time? This Muslim here, but I'm sure he won't have it. So many days have passed. I don't think he must have had it, you know. Let me pass. If I can't pass the whole thing, at least half to him. The Sahaba was different. Sahaba passed the whole thing. See that goat head, the whole thing goes. As Aisha, someone comes in, right, bigger at some odd time, the whole thing goes. They don't give half. How Aada, hamare liya, nisfun liya, nisfun luck, and all that. That is our style. Right. They say, give it and give it whole. Right. So these incidents, what we learn from these incidents, how do we conduct ourselves? How do we, or we can't share the whole thing, how do we do it? We're out traveling or at home, and we've got something, some comfort, some enjoyment. Then, all right, I got my brother here, I got my friend here, I got a neighbor there. Then how do I share this happiness, this occasion of happiness, how do I share it? I got a smile on my face. I need a smile on his face as well. You see where we go off, I'm just digressing a little bit. Is we want this exclusivity. In all what we do, we want to be exclusive. And this exclusive temperament comes from shaitan, really. You see, you know, you trace a thing, you trace it, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? And eventually it leads up to shaitan. Allah Pak instructed all. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ with a lot of emphasis, impressing upon us the last of them, whether it was Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, Israel, all, the highest to the lowest, all of them had prostrated, all. كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ, the last one of them. The simple reason was they didn't have that exclusive misaj. Well, Jibreel, I'm going to say, me also. Ya Allah Ta'ala, me also, I must also make sajda. You know, it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, who's juduli Adam. So when it's that one single command, they don't have that exclusive misaj. They don't have that exclusive temperament. No, all of us. He's commanded us, so let's go in prostration. Let's go straight. Now, at that time, shaitan is known as the ta'usul malaika, as though he's the pride of the malaika. Right, so he says, "Oh no, I can't do it. I am exclusive, because I am Taus. I am the pride of the Malaika. Though I am not amongst the Malaika, I am not a Malaika myself. But in their ranks, they consider me as a pride of the Malaika. So I can't be like one of the crowd there. I need to be exclusive. In our language, we need to be living in Balito. Don't lower these people anyway. For us, we are not belittling them." Them, alhamdulillah, inshallah, they are living like how they are living, right? But if we want to live there, then we want to compare with someone, you know, to show the others that we are living somewhere else, somewhere, something else. Or where you went for holiday, you went to here, you went to this place for holiday, exclusive again. So this exclusivity is not a Muslim misad, it's not a Muslim temperament. See the Quran Sharif, how beautiful it says it. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِيلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah Pak says on one side that he's the best, right? But then what is the temperament? What is his outlook? إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm one of the crowd of the Muslims. I'm nothing too important. See, this thing has gripped us and it's gripped us very badly. See, the moment now, you got some little bit of respect, then we want to be recognized. Right? We want to be known. Someone is talking over the radio, then we want to talk also. I must give my sixpence over the radio as well. Right? whether it's a caller, as a questioner, but someone, I must be aired. And the whole world must say, yeah, you appeared also on the radio. Whether it was nonsense that you were talking of, or it was sense that you were making, or no, I must appear on the radio. It's just an example, but this is how we look at life. This mizaj of ana min al-muslimin, I'm just one of the crowd. I'm just one of them. No, nobody knows about me. I don't know anybody. I'm just one of the crowd there. This was a different mizaj. There was one Ibrahim Ishaq living somewhere in Nairobi. Well, Umar Palampuri Sabrahman used to speak about him. He was so wealthy, you're talking about the 50s and the 60s, he had, without exaggeration, the best of posh Pontiacs, Cadillac and all that, he had parked out of his car, out of his yard. You know, at that time, 50s and 60s, when car was a novelty, at that time he had the best. His suits and tie used to fly to Paris for dry cleaning. Right? Somehow the Jamaat, they got a tarteeb, you see, tarkeeb, they got some plan how to put a taweez and catch the person. So they caught him somehow, they got him. Now, more or less the same, I went with him in Jamaat. The same Ibrahim Baisak, I went with him in Jamaat. And he will carry on like he was a nobody, really, really. He says, I timed him properly. Because I saw there was something good in this man, yeah? But what is the goodness? I can see the nur, I can see everything is very good in him. But there's something that I'm missing out for this person, so I timed him the whole night. So I see, he gets up at about 1 o'clock for tahajjud, 2 hours solid he's spending in tahajjud, 2 hours, so 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock we are getting up. The moment we are getting up, he's fast asleep. Hey, don't disturb me, don't disturb me. So nobody knows. It's a private communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows. It's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it. Let it be. So that private matter, let it be a private matter. Like we would enjoy that our sins be concealed. Let this love, it's a love communication. It's not a thing to display. It's not a thing for advertising. Let it also be concealed. It's just between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accepts it. It's more than a bargain. Let's leave it like that. Don't now then try and go and display the thing. Now you're going to get up with tahajjud and make miswak. To make miswak of the throat also. So everything else is being left out. And it's one sunnah you remember at that time. And ask the heart, what is the heart saying? The heart is saying at that time, yes, you know, someone must know about my piety. Maybe they get encouraged also, you know. If I do it, maybe someone else gets encouraged. We've got an explanation for everything, anything and everything today. Anything can go. So everything we've got an explanation for. I was just telling the brothers, ustads today, that when Allah Ta'ala wants to ruin a person, Allah Ta'ala engages him in two gunas, two types of gunas, and that person gets ruined. He gets blocked out, like he was ushered in. Then if Allah Ta'ala wants to reject him, throw him out, then Allah Ta'ala engages him in two things. One is lustful gunas, especially with young girls, young boys and all that. And it starts off so innocently, very innocently, all right. No, she's asking for masla, so I'm answering her, so what's wrong? But deep within, there is a small little shred of doubt. I'm enjoying the voice also, but let's hope the phone comes again, you know. And then I need to know her a little bit more, maybe I can give her a better answer. So you see the explanations that the mind is making. What's her name? What's her background? Where she lives? All that. Now, what the heart is doing, Allah Pak knows. You know what your heart is doing. The third person may not know that who's his caller and you're enjoying the voice. All that, Allah Pak knows about it. He knows about it. So this very discreet, this subtle rogue that is within our hearts. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah says these are the two thieves that breaks the road. One is a subtle, very subtle rogue. It comes so subtly and so innocently that if you know, man, I should need to show respect. I need to display some type of adab and etiquette. What this girl will feel? I'm so rude. I'm so aggressive. I don't have any hospitality, no warmth in my relationship. Bhai, all the warmth, go show it to your wife. Bhai. Leave the warmth with everybody else. Go show it to your wife. And the woman also guilty to some extent. I feel the woman also guilty. They're guilty in this respect. And when they're talking to a strange man, very calm, sweet, everything. But see how they talk to the husband? Abhe, tune kya kar diya? Sab kaam tu bigar deta hai. You can't spoil everything. The sweetness, the love, the compassion, where it's supposed to be shown, there is not shown. Where they're supposed to be adorning themselves, putting that perfume, that new clothing, that new pajama, whatever else, is not done there. There are some tattered, torn, champal, whatever else. All that sadhgi will come here. All that simplicity will come here. Where they're supposed to wear that tattered and torn when they're going out in the street, they're not going to do it there. Really, it's a thing to be worried about. Where they're supposed to be dressed up a little bit untidily when they're going out in the street, they'll put the best type of abaya. The man is not attracted also. He says, hey, who's this girl here? Who's this girl? I want to see now. Hey, who's this girl? See how she's walking and all that. See the slimness and all that. Everyone has to see now. Are you walking there and you hear that tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Now you don't even know the girl, but you want to know. She may be the ugliest of everybody, but just the style and all that will attract you. And what the hadith is teaching us, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَىٰ وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ وَلْيَخْرُجْنَ وَهُنَّ التَّفِيلَاتِ. They must come out in an untidily manner, that a person can have an attraction also, he doesn't feel attracted. He feels distracted. So men are also guilty and women also guilty in this respect. Men also guilty and women also guilty in this respect. So Sheikh Saadi says that this is such a guna. He goes on further saying that it comes on so subtly, so discreetly. But when it's got its roots, you got love, you got an inclination towards young boys or girls. You want to hear the voice, you want to hear this, you want to do this, whatever else. It comes very subtly, but when it's rooted in, then an elephant also will not be able to pull it out. You try your best to pull it out. Now, suddenly after 20 years, 30 years, it's striking in your mind, hey, you know, when I was in school, but that girl was next to me, you know, if only we could have a get together, I could just speak to her only for 1 minute, 2 minutes, I could see her. You know, just a family, just a friendly meeting. Or she could just telephone one day by mistake, I could just speak to her. How are you? You know, how's the school days? How you should score the A's and all that. You see this discreet rogue that is in the heart. So that's what it says, that when it comes so subtly, like an angel it will come in. But to pull it out and to extract it from the heart is so difficult that you got an elephant to pull it out with chains. You can't get it out of the system. It's rooted so deeply inside, so deeply. So this is the one guna. And the second guna is showing disrespect to any dini elder. Any person that is in deen, is a dini elder, any type of disregard, disrespect. Many a times I feel, by look within your own weaknesses. Why do you go and pick out the weaknesses of others? An ordinary businessman, a little bit particular. So little thing, sometimes you find some odd businessman, but the brains that he gives you, you can't even think about it. So there's another person, and he's speaking out on some lady. So this businessman comes in and he says, hey, you know, there are two types of mistakes. One is ihtimali and one is yaqini. One is a possibility it happened. One is that it is certain. As far as you picking out this woman, it's a possibility that she may have done that crime, she's guilty of the crime, and it's possible that she is totally innocent. So there's a possibility, you heard it, it's a rumor, came in the news, whatever else, but then too it's a rumor. A rumor is a rumor. The newspaper is not a gospel truth. Right? It's speculation. Many a time there's a retraction in the paper, don't you see? They make a big, bold statement in the first page, and then after that, after 10 days or 5 days, then there's a big, small retraction. In some corner, it's all hidden away. And meanwhile, you saw that, and you start talking to the whole world. You know this person? Yeah, he did this. You know this person? Yeah, he did this. No, where it came in this newspaper. It must be the truth. Can't be a lie. So you are talking about it, you're engaging it. And he says, now this is just a possibility, it's just speculation. It's possible it happened, it's possible that the person is totally innocent of the crime. So this is a possibility. But what you know of yourself, it's a certainty. Now you go and X-ray yourself from the age that you knew yourself, 13, 14, you know, in your heydays. Yeah. And think about all that time what you did, 13, 14, yeah, which girl you had seen, and you talk, you spoke, and which porn site you went to. Now this, what you know of yourself, is a certainty. You can't disbelieve yourself. You are absolutely certain about yourself. Yeah, which magazine and which book and which striptease he was looking at. And sometimes I feel you shouldn't even say the name of the magazine. Yeah? Don't even say the name of the magazine. Don't even speak about it. Because one person told me very clearly, I went and looked at all these porn sites and all that magazine. One person mentioned one site and one magazine. I have never looked at all these things yet, but when he mentioned it, then I got just spurred up. I went to look at it. And I got hooked onto it. So you spoke about it, though you didn't have the intentions, you were warning the person. But when you spoke about that magazine, then this person got spurred on. Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi had wrote the kitab Islahur Rusum. In India, there are a lot of bidat and a lot of customs, unnecessary customs that are bordering on bidat, you see. So Mola wrote a whole kitab, Islahur Rusum, in two volumes. So one person wrote up a letter of compliments, congratulations, Mola, congratulations to you for this for the writing up of this kitab here. You know, there were a lot of customs and a lot of bidat that we left out. Now that you wrote this kitab here, so we learned how to do it again. See, we learned, because you showed the whole tartib, this one here, this is wrong, this is the wrong in the second step, the third step, this is the wrong thing. So we had forgotten all these things. And now you showed us the exact tartib, how it was done then. So congratulations to you. So you get that group of people who will listen to the name of that magazine or that book, and they get spurred on. So you don't give an invitation. So look at this person's advice. He's an ordinary businessman, but what a beautiful piece of advice he gave. What he says, what you know about yourself is absolutely certain. What you know about the next person, that's doubt, or perhaps it happened, perhaps it didn't happen. Right? And number three, this is also a fact, that you're not a police over the person. Allah didn't appoint you as a police about the person, go and broadcast his evils and his weaknesses, etc. Allah didn't appoint you. You don't know about it, you're not appointed as a police about him, but you go and broadcast him. And it's easy to pick about the next point. Next person, it's easy. Yes, you know about yourself. What you know about yourself is certain. Now, do you have the guts about publicizing yourself? You know, when I was 13, then this is the wrong I have done. When I was 14, and I look at myself, this magazine I seen, and this book I seen, I was flirting with this girl here, and I phoned here like this, and this is that wrong that I done here, in this corner, in this street, or in this house, I did this type of a wrong. On that day, on this occasion, this was the thing that I did. I'm absolutely certain about it. Can you go and advertise it? So you see this, holier than thou, this exclusivity, even in your personal self. No, I'm exclusive. I can run him down, but I mustn't run myself down. I can run him down, but I mustn't run myself down. Because I'm something exclusive, I'm something nobler than others. How can I run myself down? This is a dangerous, very dangerous trait. This is our old Buzurgana, they discovered it very, very well. They say that this is the biggest obstruction on the path. Hazrat Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah was giving a talk once in the Merkaz. I was present. So he says there are two types of gunas. One guna, he says, is called nafsani. You're tempted to wrong, right? Some type of temptation, whether it is girl, woman, whatever else, temptation. That's a guna, it's a serious thing. I spoke about it just now. It's serious. But the thing that is even worse than this is called shaitani. This is nafsani, and this is called shaitani. And then he gave reasons for the both. He says, see, as far as temptations are concerned, Rasulullah still tells the person, وَإِن زَنَا وَإِن سَرَقَ. Even if he's committed zina and he stole, Allah will forgive him, give him jannat, right? He'll go to jannat. It's a la ilaha illallah, he'll go to jannat. So that was all gunas that are related to the temptation, to the lust. That person will go to jannat. But then when gunas that are related to the ego, I must be something, people must know me, they must recognize me. They must acknowledge what I have done. These gunas, the hadith again says, Man kana fi qalbi mithqalu dharratin min kibrin. You are an atom of pride and arrogance, you're not getting into Jannat. Straight. You're not getting into Jannat. Yeah, this person did this, he's still getting into Jannat. Yeah, you got that pride, holier than thou. I'm something, he's nothing. Let's push him down more, let's smash him down. Yeah, you're getting into Jannat, and here you're not getting into Jannat. You see this pride and arrogance, what it does to a person. That attitude that we have today, holier than thou. I must be exclusive, my children must be exclusive, my house must be exclusive, my tiles must be exclusive, everything. Everything must be different. Names also must be different. Unheard of. Unheard of names. One woman was phoning, you know, I want one name for my child. So I said, all right, this child, this name, that name, that name. Now, this name, oh, this auntie got that name, and this auntie, this uncle, yeah, got this name, and this 5 minutes over the phone, I said, it's too much now. So I said, no, just keep the child's name Alu Piaj. So I left the phone on straight, finished, khalas. Now it's a headache that, because now they want to be exclusive mizaj, something different. Nobody kept that name, I must keep that name. Nobody kept that name, I must keep. My child must be exclusive. Why? More important than the name is the morals and the values that you will instill into that child. You look at this whole mutaqaddimin, this was the whole fikr. Okay, by this child that I got, value. What is the value that the child has got? What respect has he got? What Islamic teachings has he got in him? How much of deen is got in him? This is the whole fikr. From the time the child is conceived, right till the child is mature and up and moving, then what values have I put into the child? Can be a simple name, Muhammad bin Ismail, simple name. Father's name is Ismail also. Okay, he's got Imam Bukhari's name, Muhammad bin Ismail. Simple name, very simple name, but what he did? See, so the more important thing is what is this child going to do, not the name. Now the whole emphasis is that what's the name of the child? So really we have gone off the tangent. So you see these elder people and how they looked at things. Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash Rahmatullah Ali, he complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I'm doing and I'm being exposed. See, you will conceal yourself and you'll conceal yourself with the intention that you remain concealed, not with the intention that I get publicized. Sometimes that also happens, I'll conceal myself. But inside, ek taqaza hota hai ki kaash ke log ko pata bhi chal jaye. That's also a problem. Within the heart, Allah Pak is watching, within the heart. What's the degree of love? You making love with your wife, you don't want the whole world to know. Do you want the whole world to know? Oh, that's a private affair. So when you're making love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you want to publicize it? It's a private affair. Keep it private. Don't go and publicize this thing. Sometimes it happens, even today, they make these love affairs also with their families, they make it a public thing, publicize it. When I get married to this type of beautiful woman, dress her like this and take her to a function. So that everybody would see, hey, my wife was dressed up like this. She was dressed up. For the kill, she was dressed up. Na'uzubillah. How are they supposed to be dressed and how are we dressing them? How are they supposed to be dressed and how are we dressing them? So what simplicity demands? Dress up simply, ordinarily. I don't say now go right below the standards. Go simple. What you are living in, what type of people that you are associating with, around that class. Around that. Provided it's within your budget, comfortable it's within your budget, not beyond that. Go what's within your budget, simply the type of people that you are living with, that class. That. And the reason for it is that if you want to go right down beyond that, then you will think too much of yourself. Hey, see, all these people are dressed up like this, and see what a big buzruk I am. So that riya can come from the other side as well. If it can come from this, the top end, it can come from the lower end as well. It doesn't only come from the upper end, it comes from the lower end as well. That's why the hadith says that don't comb your hair every day. Leave a day or so and then comb your hair. Because you combing your hair every day, ye zanana pana hai. it's a trait of a woman, you know. Whenever you see now the mirror and the comb, don't you see that? See, sometimes you have to tell these girls, you know, at the home, I tell them, you know, that by, don't ever think that the more you look at the mirror, the more beautiful you become. That's a mistake they make. The more they look, they feel now they're becoming more beautiful. How deceiving is the mirror? Huh? How deceiving is that mirror? So we're talking about this Hazrat Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash Rahmatullah Alayh. See, and I say this is a private affair. Let it remain private. It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it be. Don't become like shaitan. Shaitan did that. He wanted that exclusivity. But what reward did he get? Allah Pak says, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. All that exclusive people will fill them up with Jahannam with yourself. Number one. And number two, Allah Pak tells him, وَإِنَّ لَعْنَتِي عَلَيْكَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Right till the day of judgment, you are out. Right till the day of Qiyamah, you're out, you're cursed. Finish. عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. There's no point of reverse. You're going one way, Jahannam. No point of reverse. You see where he landed himself, what price he paid. He did that, whatever he did, but what price he paid for that? عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Perpetual curse right till the day of Qiyamah. So we're talking of our awliya ikram. Our awliya ikram, we're closest to the sahaba ikram. In fact, all the awliya, doesn't have to be only ours. We say them ours because we feel all his awliya belong to us. All, whoever it was, whether it was in Japan, America, South Africa, wherever he was. But all awliya, our awliya ikram, like all the sahaba ikram, our sahaba ikram. Okay. So their style, the whole modus operandi was different. Whole style was different. So he complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, I am being exposed wherever I go. Now it's Allah ta'ala's way. When you conceal yourself, he'll expose you. He'll expose you. Sometimes it remains as a secret right throughout. The day of your death, people come to, 100 families were funded by this person here. Nobody knew about it, but some auntie comes and complains, hey, this man, he died, now he should look after us. And this person has to look after us. So you only come to know, you only discover that with death. So sometimes it happens within your life. People come to know. And many times it's only exposed after your death. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah also made this dua, O Allah Ta'ala, my work and all that, just keep it concealed as long as I'm alive. After I'm gone, then whatever you do, you do. But I don't want this whilst I'm alive. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal also said something similar. He says, to be precise in his own words, he says, مَا وَجَدْتُكَ الْفَقْرِ شَيْئًا وَلَئِنْ وَجَدْتُ سَبِيلًا. No, مَا وَجَدْتُكَ الْفَقْرِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ وَجَدْتُ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ وَجَدْتُ مَخْرَجًا لَخَرَجْتُ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ لِي حَتَّى لَا يَكُونُ لِي إِسْمٌ. Something, I can't remember the last word. He says, I haven't seen anything as great as tasawuf. Who is saying? Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal. مَا وَجَدْتُكَ الْفَقْرِ. Tasawuf, they used to call it faqr at that time. How they say faqir. Naqshbandi silsila, you hear a lot of time, faqir. Right. And if I had it my way, I would have gone out until my name wouldn't have remained. Hatta ta la takunu li ismun. My name would have remained. I would have lost, I would have been forgotten. Nobody would have known about me. So this is not just coming now, this awliya kiram that we hear of now. It's coming from that time. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Lawadittu an akuna nasyam mansiya. I must be forgotten thing. Nobody talks about me. And two ways, in two situations, she mentions this. And right towards her marazul wafat, when she's leaving this world. One was when the question about her burial. She said, no, go and bury me with the rest of the azwaja mutaharat. Although this place was mine. This place is mine. But you bury me with the rest of the azwaja mutaharat. I don't want karihtu or akrahu an uzakka. I don't want to be praised. I don't want people to come and praise me. Talk so great about me. I don't want it. Just be one of the crowd. So you see it's where it's coming from. Where it's coming from. So we're coming back to this Hazrat Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash Rahmatullah Alayh. And he complains to Allah Ta'ala, everywhere I'm getting exposed. Eventually he finds a work with the army, foot soldier going to work there, right? Now, the army perhaps is on the banks of the Himalayas, right? And when it's on the banks of the Himalayas, so it's an icy, icy winter's day. And the riverbed, there is a glacier approximately quarter meter. So you can't get any water. Can't get any water, you can't drink it, you can't make wuzu with that thing. And there's an icy cold storm that is going, with the result that whole army, 10,000, 100,000, whatever, that whole army, whatever light they've got, all is extinguished. You're talking now about 700 years ago. No lights. So the king sends someone, go and find out if there's lights anywhere. Because we need to keep ourselves warm. So they went, eventually about half a kilometer, they saw someone. And they saw that man is engaged in namaz. He doesn't know what's happening in the world. He's engaged. But they see millions of lights in his tent. Now the king doesn't have a light. Iske pas, but roshni kis tarah se. Somehow they sneaked in and they got that light. Badshah ko ponchana tha. They had to go and give it to the king. They went and did that. But now it's an Indian, you know. Indian wants to know, but how did it happen? Curious, you know. You don't want to just stop there. That's why you don't show the Indian your business, you see. You give him, let him eat it, but you don't show him where it started off from. Where you're getting the business. You don't show all the ropes, you don't show. So anyway, they went and made an inquiry on this person here. Okay, who is this person here? There was no lights and he got lights. So they went and tracked him down 1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock. Now they got him in the morning. They saw the riverbed is solid, it's ice. This man is going there and he's making wuzu comfortably, relaxed, no problem. You know, you feel cold that part of the morning making wuzu. You at least show some expression, especially when nobody's around. When there's someone around, then you'll show, no, I'm very comfortable. You know, someone falls on a bicycle, the first response is looking around, hey, nobody saw me. So you become more concerned of your image, you know. It happens to a lot of people, it happens. So they saw he's got no expression. Nobody's around, no expression. So they went and found the place there. They saw there's a hot stream coming out from there, and he's making wuzu with that. Okay, to Allah wale. Now he discovered this, Allah, but I got exposed again. Anyway, now he kept himself secret, quiet. Anyway, the Sultan's Sheikh passed away. Sultan, he's a king now. Sultan Shamsuddin, he was like this, now he became a king. When he became the king now, his Sheikh, Hazrat Fariduddin Ganja Shakar, that is Hazrat Muinuddin Chishti Ramadan's Khalifa, he passed away. When he passed away, so there was a bequest that would be opened and read out. Our bequest, what will be there? 100,000 to him, 20,000 to him. I'm waiting, hey, how much for me also? Something also for me. It must be there somewhere. Let's look between the lines. Maybe you'll get something for me as well. So the bequest is being read in the open there. Janaza now is such a big buzurg that's passed away. So there's hundreds and thousands of people all collected for the janaza namaz. Awliya, ulama-i-kiram of the time, all big, big people. Anyway, the bequest is open and it's read. So that thing is reading that person must lead my janaza namaz who's qualified in these two aspects. One is he must never have missed his sunnats of asr. And number two, he must never have engaged in anything that was lustful. Not even with the sight. Forget anything else, with the hands or whatever else. But he has never engaged in anything that was lustful. Now, everybody is looking at the other's face. Now, hey, we can't do it. And it's a great buzrug, ya Fariduddin. We can't take a chance. Something will happen to us. Right? We can't take a chance here. Ulama, awliya, big mashayikh are present. Abdaats of the time are present here, but nobody wants to take a chance because they say, alright, we may not have engaged in restful things, but the sunnats of asr, we sift up some way or the other. eventually Hazrat Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash Rahmatullahi, he says, یہ تو راستہ میرے اور خدا کے درمیان, لیکن حضرت نے میری راز کو فاش کر دیا. It was a secret between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and today our Shaykh has exposed me. He's not feeling comfortable about it. I have to go, I'm forced. Because already one hour passed and nobody is going front to lead the janazah namaz. Janazah namaz is farz-e kifay, nobody is leading. Now, I'm pressed. I didn't want to do this. I'm constrained, I have to go and do this. So you see this type of feeling that I don't want to know, be known, just carry on with the crowd. Just be an ordinary person. So long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you, you got everything. You know, they say, you have these beauticians. So this beautician system is not only recent, it was from those days. Ancient time they had these beauticians. Although most of the things now they do is not right. Because the person is going to beautify himself at a beautician many a times, you have to open your satar also. They're plucking out hair from everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. So now, how can this be permissible? So, the bride has got a beautician to beautify her. And she's beautified her properly, correctly. In Arabic, they call her mashata. So she's beautified her. She's groomed up. Obviously for the husband, right? And then as a word of compliment, she tells her, "Bi tu to bari khubsurat lagti. You're looking very, very attractive now." So a tear just rolls off. And she says, "Kaash ke mere khawin, jo hone wale khawin the, uski zuban se ye lafz nikal jaye. If only the same word could have come out from the tongue of my husband. You can say, and the whole world can say whatever they can say. But if I am the cherry of the eye, literally, of the husband, then really I've gained something." You can't say strawberry of the eye. You have to use this word. Right? If I am that, then it's everything. Because I'm going to live with him now. When I'm going to live with him, if I am the apple of the eye, then really I've gained everything. And if he says, "No, you don't appeal to me at all," then meri zindagi barbaad ho gayi. Then I'll be just living there as a statue. There's no feelings in the marriage afterwards. So by the same token, if Allah Ta'ala says, Main tujh se khush hu, then you got everything. But the whole world is giving you the applaud, they're giving you the compliments and the congratulations. And Allah Ta'ala says, "No, mere tere se naraz hu." So what's the use? What's the good? So this is the reasoning of these old people. They wanted that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're coming back to this hadith of Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu. I just digressed a little bit. So now, when Rasulullah came so open, he showed that compassion, the hospitality, the love and the warmth he showed. So obviously, Laqit ibn Sabira, his heart was opened straight away. When his heart opened, then the thing that you won't disclose before anybody, he disclosed that as well. Now he says, "Inna limra'atan wa fi lisaniha shay'un." I got a wife, her tongue is wicked, man. Now imagine, it's the first encounter with Rasulullah, first encounter, right? You don't only go and tell ghar ki baat, your private issues, you only tell a person after you have built a degree of confidence in the person. Ghar ki baat, sabko nahi sunate, you don't go and tell the person straight away. Yeah, it's a first encounter, and in the first encounter he says this. So, Rasulullah has won his confidence with the warmth, with the hospitality, with the type of consideration that he's shown to them, and that confidence is won. When the confidence is won, he has a "Inna li imra'atan wa fi lisaniha shay." I've got a wife, she got a wicked temperament, she just says anything and everything. Donkey and whatever else, whatever comes before her, she just says it. So Rasulullah tells her, "Fatalliqha idhan." Then divorce her. Hey, now you got a shock. You just sambal gaye, hey. What I was saying, what happened? Now the question is, why Rasulullah took him right to the end of the road. So he's speaking to an intelligent person. It's a delegation. I explained early on. He's speaking to a delegation, a member of a delegation. So they are very smart. They're very intelligent. Right. So he says, وَإِنَّ لِي مِنْهَا وَلَدْ I've got children from her. I have been for a long time in this nikah also. I've got children from her. And I've been a long time with this woman. Right. So I'm enjoying my stay with her, but now she's got this problem. What do I do? See. So why did Rasulullah ask him to divorce straight away? Why did he ask him? He asked him to divorce straight away because he understood he was an intelligent person. I'll take him right to the end of this road. He'll understand this. He'll understand the consequence. See, meri zindagi uske bagheer kis tarah se kategi? The straight that mind, the thing that will come in his mind, can I live with her so long, then how can I live now without this woman? I can't pass the night. I got children from her. I have got so much of comfort from her. Now to start off with someone else and have to learn the old ropes again and her family and that whatever else that goes with it. All the hawashi that goes with it. I have to learn all that. Now everything is going. It's moving very well. Just this one problem I've got. So if I'm going to divorce her, then what's going to be? So he understood it. He wasn't a person like today's zamana. And the wife must just say something and just let it happen. Let it happen. No. So he understood straight away. Okay, this was what was the mansha of Rasulullah perhaps. Okay, if I take him right to the end of the road, he'll understand it straight away that you need to appreciate your wife, whatever she is. Whatever she is, you need to appreciate her. In Sahanpur Madrasa, there was one alim that was teaching. So his wife also had a little bit of a wicked tongue. But now it happened that even his friends came to know that she is letting him have it all the time. She is giving it to him, smashing him down all the time. Ji, no, jawano, you na samjo, don't think that you got married now, you got everything. So with the rose, there must come the thorns, right? Where there is good, there must be some little bit of difficulty also. Otherwise, the rose is not appreciated. You got a little bit of thorns, so you understand, you appreciate. So don't be quick and hasty in your decisions. But by the same token, learn to make sabr also. There's a good day, then there's a rainy day. There's a cloudy day, then there's a sunny day. So you must have this. Then you will appreciate. Every day is sunny, then you won't appreciate the sun. If there's a cloudy day, 3-4 cloudy days, when the sun is going to come back again. So you need this type of things in your marriage for you to appreciate. So what we learn here, you don't be hasty in doing anything. You found a difficult day, then there'll be some ease just now. Innama al usri yusra, innama al usri yusra. So the people came to know, all influential people say, hey, just divorce this woman, we'll see, we've got a better substitute. So Mullah says, one of two situations. Either I divorce her and she remarries, or she doesn't remarry. If she remarries, then the difficulty that I'm experiencing, my brother will experience. So why can't I make ikram on her behalf, on his behalf? See that ikram is not confined. Why can't I make ikram on his behalf? Let me do all the difficulty. Let me take the difficulty. And the other situation is she doesn't marry. If she doesn't remarry, then she'll be living in agony, in stress, in problems. Nobody is there to marry her. Nobody is there to show her that comfort and love. So let me take all that onto myself. So this ikram is not only on a goat head, it's not confined to one area only. So many things you can extend the ikram to. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib farma.